Your Honors.
Good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. It is June 9th, 2020, and this is the second of three oral arguments we are having via WebEx today. Your panel is Judge Renee Werke. I'm Lucinda Jessen. Judge Carol Hooten is also a member of the panel. Judge Hooten, unfortunately, is ill, so she will be listening to the oral arguments in a few days via tape. And then after Judge Hooten listens to the full argument, we will proceed with our conference and making a decision in this matter. So this is A19-1859, Community Cares versus Dion Faulkner. You will have 15 minutes for your argument, Mr. Manning. I note that there is no party arguing before us for the respondent. If your screen freezes or you have any technological problems, just alert us. We'll reset the time. We want to make sure you have the full amount of time for your argument. And as you'll see, our marshal is keeping time on the screen, so we'll all be able to keep track of that. With that, Mr. Manning, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Sam Manning. I work at Minnesota Legal Aid, and I represent Mr. Dion Faulkner, who is the appellant tenant in this appeal of an eviction action that was heard in the Hennepin County Housing Court. Now, this case is about preserving the integrity of the eviction court process by ensuring that corporate agents are competent, ethical, and accountable to the courts. And this court can help.
Mr. Manning, you are then, just so that we understand, you're not appealing the non-payment of rent finding, and you're not raising an issue as far as the failure to vacate. This is purely the procedural or the rule requirement on when a corporate be represented.
Yes, Your Honor. And this court can help uphold the integrity of the housing court by following the clear precedent that's supported the general rule that corporations must be represented by attorneys in Minnesota state courts, which I'll refer to as the corporate counsel rule throughout this argument, and overturning the lower court's decision. And now, a decision in favor of the appellant not only advances the goal of justice, equal justice in the courts, but is consistent with the Minnesota common law, the Minnesota general rules practice, and including recent guidance by the Minnesota Supreme Court.
That all sounds fine and good. And I realized that there was a dialogue with the housing court officer as far as guidance in a rule, but tell me what authority you have to support your proposition that there's a mandated need to have a lawyer in these housing cases.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think it's helpful to look first to the Minnesota common law to understand the general corporate counsel rule. And it's been held over and over again that attorneys are required in state court cases. Housing court is a calendar within Minnesota district courts. And so the question really is not, the question is, is there an exception in Rule 603 that authorizes, or is there an exception in Rule 603 that authorizes non-attorney representation of corporations in housing courts? I think it's helpful before getting into kind of Rule 603 and the question of whether there's an exception.
Don't we have a case, a Minnesota Court of Appeals case, Hinckley Square Associates versus Servine, if I'm saying that? My reading of that decision said landlords may appear through lay agents in specialized housing courts of Hennepin and Ramsey County. And it refers to the rules of general practice. I don't know how we get around that because that is precedential authority for us.
Your Honor, that is not precedential authority for you. Hinckley Square was heard in, I believe it's Cook County, which doesn't have a housing court. And so Rule 603 wasn't on point in that case. And therefore, this is it's actually a footnote that mentions the housing courts, and therefore it's unbinding dicta, and should not be binding on your decision in this case. I think so. It's helpful to look at the district court to look at the general corporate counsel rule before going into Rule 603. The seminal case regarding the corporate counsel rule is Nicollet Restoration, Inc. v. Turnham, which lays out strong public policy considerations that underlie the corporate counsel rule. Quote, a non-attorney agent of a corporation is not subject to ethical standards of the bar is not subject to court supervision or discipline. The agent knows only one master. The corporation owes no duty to the courts. In addition, a corporation is an artificial entity which can only act through agents. To permit a lay individual to appear on behalf of a corporation would be to permit that individual to practice law without a license. In short, I think what Nicollet Restoration is trying to get at is that lawyers have ethical and legal obligations to the court and to the opposing party, such as meritorious claims and contentions. We can only bring meritorious claims and contentions. We have to have candor to the tribunal. We have to be fair to the opposing party and to opposing counsel. And not only do we have those obligations, but those are enforceable, whether that be through sanctions, disbarment, suspension of our licenses. And non-attorney agents don't have those enforcement mechanisms that can keep them accountable.
Mr. Manning, if I may, I think the panel appreciates the importance that attorneys play in the court proceedings. There's no question that there was a power of attorney attached to the complaint in the time of filing here, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the issue you're raising to us is, does Rule 603, are you saying it violates this corporate counsel rule in some way that we should should declare it, as violating the common law? I mean, I'm trying to understand what authority you're pointing us towards to say that the explicit exception created in Rule 603 is unconstitutional or violates some statute, because I just didn't see that in your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. Our position is not that Rule 603 violates some constitutional due process right or anything of that nature. Our contention is that Rule 603 simply does not create an exception to the corporate counsel rule.
So then we should be and you're saying that based upon the wording of the rule itself?
I think you can look at both the plain language of the rule and then an examination of the intent of the rule at the time that it was.
And do you have legislative history you're pointing us to? So maybe if there's something specific on this, the wording of the rule, please point us to that. If there's some explicit it's ambiguous that you believe, tell us that, and then tell us what legislative history or, the equivalent of for rules that would inform that as when we look at that ambiguity.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think our position first is that the plain language of the rule is unambiguous. As a rule of statutory interpretation, we shouldn't add words or phrases to unambiguous statutes or rules. There's no mention of corporations, no mention of LLCs or other corporate entities within the language of the rule itself. The language does talk about principles and individuals, but if you look at the plain language of the rule, it simply authorizes a non-attorney agent to represent individuals or unincorporated entities such as sole proprietorships, general partnerships, homeowners associations, organizations that are not subject to the corporate counsel rule, to appear in housing court without an attorney. And I think that it's helpful to look at in order to understand the intent of the rule when it was.
But why are we looking at the intent of the rule if it's unambiguous, which you just told us it was?
Our position is that it's unambiguous, but even if the court finds that it's ambiguous, I believe that it's helpful to look at the intent of the rule at the time it was adopted. And the best way, I think, to do that is to a rule that was adopted at the same time, and that is Minnesota General Rule of Practice 512C. We read rules in light of each other, not in a void. 512C is a conciliation court rule. It was adopted on the same day as Rule 603. It was September 5th, 1919. And 512C expressly allows for an exception of the corporate counsel for conciliation court. It goes into great detail regarding the allowance of non-attorney agents representing corporations within the conciliation courts, and in fact says that it's not an unauthorized practice of law to do so. The court didn't do that. The Supreme Court, when it adopted this, both Rule 603 and Rule 512C, it made choices as to what kind of exceptions it was going to make, and it just didn't make an exception for the corporate counsel rule. It didn't mention it at all when it was adopted.
Mr. Manning, you've indicated that Hinckley Square, in your opinion, is merely dicta. Are you suggesting that we publish authority one way or the other on when attorneys need to be representing individuals in housing court?
Yes, we are, Your Honor. I think it would be helpful in clarifying the rules so that the practice within the housing courts could be unified in Hennepin and Ramsey counties.
Do you have a syllabus point that you would urge us to consider?
Can you clarify, Your Honor?
Well, if we say something, we may be saying that agents, we may say what was said in Hinckley Square and say landlords may appear in housing court in Hennepin County. Or we may say that attorneys are required to appear. I mean, this could go the other way.
Yes, our position is that the point that should be made is that attorneys should be required for corporations in housing court. The court should make clear that the common law corporate counsel rule should apply in the housing courts of Hennepin and Ramsey counties. And actually, the other helpful thing to look at when looking at Rule 603 and how we should interpret it as to whether or not there's an exception for corporations to be represented by non-attorneys is looking at the Minnesota Supreme Court's own interpretation of Rule 603. Now, there's been no case law from the Supreme Court that's been directly on point, but the Minnesota Supreme Court has weighed in through its rulemaking process. Twice now, there have been proposed changes to Rule 603 by the Minnesota's, various interested parties in 2009 and in 2018-19. In both cases, significantly, in both cases, the proposed rule change was to allow corporations to be represented by non-attorneys in the housing courts. And in both cases, that rule change was rejected. And I think it's helpful to look at, in 2009, the rule change wasn't even forwarded to the Supreme Court for consideration. The Rule Advisory Committee rejected the proposed rule change, citing to Nicollet Restoration v. Turnham, the case that stands for the principle that attorneys must be representing corporations in state courts. And then in 2018 and 19, the committee did forward a recommended rule change, this time to allow limited representation of corporations by non-attorneys in the housing courts. But this time it was forwarded over the objection of a third of the committee's members. And following a public comment period, that rule change was rejected. And the Supreme Court issued an order in rejecting the proposed rule change and cited to progeny of Nicollet Restoration in its order. And it specifically wrote in its order, quote, "It is well under Minnesota common law that a corporation must be represented by an attorney in legal proceedings." I think it's clear from that language in the Supreme Court itself's rejection of the proposed rule change to allow attorneys to practice in the housing courts that the Supreme Court itself does not read the current rule to allow attorneys to practice, or non-attorneys, excuse me, to practice in the housing courts of Hennepin and Ramsey County. You know, as I said at the beginning, this case is about preserving the integrity of the eviction court process by ensuring that corporate agents are competent, ethical, and accountable to the courts. And the way that you do that is you ensure that they're attorneys that have legal and ethical obligations, and attorneys that can be held accountable when they don't fulfill those obligations. The Minnesota common law, Nicollet Restoration and its progeny, unanimously affirms the corporate counsel rule in district court. There's no exception in Rule 603, and we can see through the plain language of Rule 603, which confirms there's no exception. An examination of the intent of Rule 603 by looking at it next to other court rules that were adopted simultaneously. And you can see that through an examination of the Supreme Court's own interpretation of Rule 603 through its rulemaking process. In this case, the limited liability corporation appeared without an attorney and they defaulted. And therefore we're asking that you overturn the lower court's decision and dismiss the underlying action with prejudice.
Any further questions, Judge Warkey?
None for me, thank you.
Well, Mr. Manning, thank you very much for your helpful argument, and we will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision within the statutory time period. And thank you for participating in our oral argument via WebEx.
Thank you, Your Honors, and have a nice day.